Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Hey, Patrick, have you ever been to CBGB's?
Yeah, I have, Jim. Actually, my band once opened for Pavement there.
Really?
Yeah, and we're responsible for the condition of the bathroom. Sorry about that.
All right, Patrick, Tug is with us again.
It's fantastic.
I'm back.
All right, so we're on the phone with Tug Baker, our friend from South Carolina.
Yeah.
And he was on earlier in the week talking about new music, but now we're going to go a completely different direction.
Yeah.
Today and tomorrow as we continue Tug Week.
And I think some of our longtime listeners will remember what he's going to talk about. It's a yearly ritual he goes through.
Yeah, so explain, well, first of all, this is Rockin' the Suburbs.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe on Apple Podcasts. I like to get those things out of the way early.
Every
as I can.
Day.
Every day. And listen every day. And Tug, tell us what you put yourself through each January of every year.
So each January, I've just spent a lot of time compiling my best albums of the last year list. Which nobody really sees or cares about except for me. And, you know, but I spent a lot of time and stuff on it. So I'm kind of tired of new music. So I go through a music cleanse in January where I do not listen to new music. I actually pick some established artists that I may know a lot about, may know a little bit about, usually like somebody I want to know more about. And I go back and I do a deep dive and go start at the beginning and go all the way through.
It's amazing.
It's such a cool idea.
It's a great idea. Yeah. So you're just listening to this like all month and you pick two artists each month. Is that right?
It really depends on like how, you know, how involved it is. This time around, I will say I bit off a little more than I could chew with the two that I picked. there's a lot going on there. I've definitely had years where I picked somebody who has like, you know, four or five albums. Great, fine, easy. Like, this year, a lot more albums than that. A lot more stuff to get through.
All right, let's start with one of them. Who did you pick?
The very first one, and the one that I knew I wanted to do right off the bat, was Patti Smith.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
And why did you know that?
Going into it, like what I know about Patti Smith, Horses, her debut album, I do know that album, know that it is generally regarded as one of the best rock and roll records of all time. Mm-hmm. It is. It's great. I also knew that my wife was a big Patti Smith fan. I was like, you know, this is somebody who I wanted to find more about. And, you know, she comes up a lot. If you, you know, read anything about rock and roll, you know, Patti Smith is all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So I decided to do a big, you know, start at the beginning, which was, of course, the album I already knew and loved, and go forward. And I think one of the cool things that intrigued me about her is the fact that, you know, probably her two best known songs are songs that aren't actually written by her.
Yeah.
You know, Because the Night, of course, which actually is probably more famously known because of a cover of it.
yeah.
But, you know, Bruce Springsteen wrote it with her. And then there's Gloria, which is, you know, the Van Morrison, song that she kind of took and made into her own amazing thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, those are songs that I knew and loved, and I was like, I want to find out more about her and, you know, things that she's written. So it was very cool to get through and do that.
Okay, so take us through this a little bit. Where did you start? What did you discover?
So I think, you know, one of the first things that I picked up on was that she does like a lot of stuff. She's very, you know, very busy. And I think I didn't really realize, I guess, the time period that she was coming up in, that she was around New York around the time of like television and, you know, bands like that, that I really love too. So, this first track I want to share with you guys is from her album Easter, which is actually her third record. It is the one with Because the Night on it. But, I really love this song, Privilege, parentheses, Set Me Free. Also just an amazing feminist, you know, Fist in the Air, song, which I really enjoy.
The days of love and torment, the nights of rock and roll, I see it all before me. Sometimes my spirit's empty, don't have the will to go on. I wish someone would send me.
So what year was that?
Easter, I believe.
78.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Third record. Radio Ethiopia came in between Horses and Easter.
So I'm like you, Tug. I don't know Patti Smith's stuff super well. Patrick, you probably do, right?
I do. You know, in my lifetime of musical historical exploration, like Tug said, you kept coming across Patti Smith's influence and what she had done in her work with Lenny Kaye and her poetry readings that she turned into music and all those things. And I read her book Just Kids, which is a fantastic you know, retelling of her time coming to New York and her relationship with Robert Mapplethorpe as well. So it's an amazing story of like she was there at the very beginning.
The thing I notice in hearing that today is, first of all, it's a lot more sort of power chordy than I necessarily expected. It does say something about the time that they were still, even though this was quote unquote alternative music, it still was kind of rooted in like classic rock.
Oh yeah.
You know, and what people knew at the time. And then also there's a certain theatrical quality to the music too, that comes through, which makes a lot of sense when you know Patti Smith as a person. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Yeah. And then the third thing I'll say too, is if people who don't know this, she was big enough at the time though, to be parodied on Saturday Night Live. Do you remember that?
No, I don't think I do, actually.
So Gilda Radner had a recurring sort of punk rock character called Candy Slice. It was on.
Oh, wow. I
remember this.
And it was based on Patti Smith.
Wow.
Isn't so?
I can totally see Gilda Radner doing that. Yeah. That sounds great. I'm going to have to look that up.
So look that up. All right.
Oh, that's so cool.
So where do we go from here?
So from here we go to the other thing that happens to me a lot in these deep dives of finding a song that is just like, how did I not know this song? you ever get that? Like, this one, you know, I think was a fairly big hit for her, and like, you know, a million people have covered it that I like. First Aid Kit did this amazing cover. I don't know how I don't know this song, but it's a really, you know, awesome rock and roll song. Very, you know, cool, cryptic and kind of, you know, sexy meditation on new love and like falling in love with somebody. And it's really great. It's a really, really awesome song. And I'm just so happy I found it. You find those songs sometimes that you're just like, God, if I had known this song you know, 10 years ago, how many mixtapes of this have ended up on? this to me is that song. Like, this would have been, you know, like, yeah, it would have shown up on a few. But yeah, it's Dancing Barefoot. We're only hopping ahead a year, to her 1979 album Wave, which is a really good record, but not like, it's, you know, not maybe as well regarded as Easter or Horses, obviously, but still definitely worth a listen. And this song in particular is just terrific.
I love that song.
You know, it's funny. Tug was talking about how many times it's been covered, because I learned about that song from the Feelies. They covered it around the time of The Good Earth. I was lucky to be going to the old 930 Club a lot, and at that time they had a weird policy that didn't last long, where if you played on a weekend, the headliner had to play two sets. So there'd be like the first band, then the headliner, then there would be like a half an hour intermission. And the headliner would come back and do another set that started at like midnight. And the Feelies at that time were playing kind of regularly, and I was really starting to get into them. And they would play covers, and they would play like, so you'd get to see them play like See No Evil and Powderfinger and Sedan Delivery, but they would play Dancing Barefoot too. And I thought for a while it was a Feely song until I learned who actually wrote it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was cool.
You know, there was another band that's kind of a big deal that once covered Dancing Barefoot.
Saw
Do you
that.
Know this?
Yeah, you're talking about U2?
U2.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The B-side, I think. Something yeah. Like that. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can find it on one of their greatest hits, I think. So
I think that's right. Here I go and I don't know why I spin so ceaselessly. Could it be he's taking over?
Right, very cool.
Yeah.
So
it's a great kind of a January cleanse.
So we'll save the third song here for the play out. Okay.
Yeah.
So just give us kind of a wrap up. What else did you learn about Patti Smith?
I think my favorite takeaway is that, you know, I really love Nick Cave. You know, you guys know this about me. I'm a big Nick Cave fan. When my wife and I met, she didn't listen to Nick Cave. I didn't really listen to Patti Smith. But listening to Patti Smith, I've kind of found this very, very similar sides of you know, different sides of the same coin, I guess. You know, both these people who are so talented that do way more than just make music. You know, they're writers, they're, you know, novelists, you know, painters and photographers, and, you know, they're these uber talented people who have this penchant for really mixing their music and their art. And it's very interesting to me that, you know, my wife, Maura, and I, that we both have these, you know, deep loves of these artists that I find, now that I'm really exposed to both of them, to be very similar. Mm. So I think that's been a really cool thing for me to be like, of course, like, you know, of course me and my wife were meant to be together, because, we like these, you know, we like the same music. We get along.
That's very cool.
All right. That is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's neat.
Okay, so who do you have for us tomorrow? Let's tease tomorrow's episode here.
Tomorrow, also going with another activist person, we're going to do a little Curtis Mayfield.
Ooh.
That's going to be fun. There's a lot of records there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
we'll talk about it tomorrow.
Okay. All right. So listen to Rock in the Suburbs tomorrow again because you listen to it.
Every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. I'm going to dispense with all the other stuff except, you know, tell us what you guys like about Patti Smith or any other recollections or thoughts or experiences. rock@suburbspod.com is the email address or call the Suburban Party Line
612-440-1984.
And I said I wasn't going to talk about all this stuff, but there's also the social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod. All right. This is Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
With us this week is Tug Baker. And Tug, what do we want to play out with your Patti Smith music?
We're going to jump way ahead to her most recent album. And this song is called This Is the Girl. And is actually a tribute for Amy Winehouse. A lot of tribute songs pop up for Patti Smith. Again, like Nick Cave, she's been around long enough that she's lost people, you know? Like, and so that seems to be this recurring thing that shows up in her music. And this was a particularly one that I really enjoyed. I thought it was just a really, really nice tribute.
Okay, what's that song called again?
This Is the Girl.
This Is the Girl. All right, and with that, we'll talk to you again, Tug, tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow, guys. Have a good night's sleep.
This is the girl for whom all tears fall. This is the girl who is having a ball. Just a dark smear in the eyes, spirited away, buried in sighs. This is the girl who crossed the line. This is the song of the smothering vine, twisted as laurel. Is a wreath upon her bed. This is the girl. This is the blood that turned into wine. This is the wine of the house, it is said.
I'm around, and I'm halfway paying attention sometimes.